Chris Kalamia Inslee heads Te Taumata. Now, that's a voice for our people on trade issues, and their network work directly with Māori businesses to deliver better trade outcomes for our people. We have noted a number of free trade agreements that have been signed off, and so I thought it pertinent to have a kōrero with Chris, because one thing is to herald the fact that they're available, but then we have to track and see how many of our exporters, producers are utilising the fast track opportunities that free trade agreements can at times provide. But I note also today an interesting kaupapa that Chris is signing off on, and that's to do with forestry offsets. We're looking here at the mitigation efforts for the climate change that we undoubtedly are witnessing as we speak. And Chris is with us for another kōrero today. Chris, tēnā koe, thank you for joining us on the show again. Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi, Dale, and ngā mihi to all of our listeners.
Tēnā koe. Look, because it's current, maybe you could tell us a little more about what you've been working on just this morning. Sea Lord, CNI tied into this. Can you share some kōrero with our listeners about some of today's events, and then we'll talk a bit about the international trade space. What's going on in your world today?
Kapai, Dale. Yeah, look, just only as at this morning, but it's taken the best part of 2 years to sit and nut out really a response to climate change in partnership with Sea Lord. And the context, obviously, for all of this is that what we've been seeing with our whānau over on the coast in Ngāti Porou down into Kahuhunu, you know, just the massive impact that we're seeing as Māori in those particular reasons, but more widely across New Zealand. And so, this issue or this option that we've been talking to Sea Lord about was, how do we as Māori partner together with our biggest Māori fishing company? You know, we don't get to see that, but Sea Lord does own on our behalf some very, very large processing ships that go out and catch fish deep sea. So we don't get to see them, but we have a number of those owned by Sea Lord. And this agreement today that we've just finalised towards signing really is around how does Sea Lord partner as a Māori organisation with our Māori landowners to create these offsets that help Sea Lord offset all of their offsets. But at the Māori landowner level, it creates new economic activity on sometimes what would be otherwise marginal land. But it creates jobs for our people, new jobs for our people there. But there's another important attribute of this particular agreement that we've agreed to sign today, and that is what it does in terms of, especially around the central North Island, around Jarawa, around all of the lakes, and how do we do and use forests and trees to actually catch all of the sediment runoff that ends up down into our streams, into our lakes, down through the Kaituna River, and then ultimately it ends up back out in the sea. So how do we use trees to catch all of that sediment and to stop all of the nutrient runoff from lands and farms down into our waterways? So look, it's such a no-brainer, but it hasn't been easy going, Dale. We've had to engage, you know, significantly with government around government creating the option to use these offsets to create these, use these offsets to store these emissions from Sea Lord. So this is, you know, something that we're celebrating today here in Jarawa, but celebrating as Māori, and I know Sea Lord too are wanting to go out soon publicly to talk about what they're doing on climate change.
Well, it does issue a challenge to all organisations, doesn't it? Because we all have a responsibility here. And at first glance, I guess many of us would be thinking, well, Sea Lord wouldn't have such a huge carbon footprint. But the way that you've described it, you can understand why it makes some sense for them also to mitigate what sort of carbon footprint they do create by combining with other entities, as we've seen here with the CNI. It's a little different because of the fact that Sea Lord are based offshore, but when it comes to offsetting the carbon and this dual goal, obviously by planting trees, we are also contributing to taking in the CO2 and and expressing oxygen through the planting. But then there is the issue that you speak of, containing leachate and runoff from farms into waterways. So it's a double win. But what sort of challenge do you think that by Sea Lord getting involved here might say to other fishing companies, to other organisations who are yet to prioritise this area of environmental sustainability?
Yeah, look, I think it's an important leadership stance that we as Māori take on these bigger issues and how we deal with these issues through our entities like Sea Lord, and as you say, put the challenge out there to the other bigger players in the fishing industry here in New Zealand. Just in the last 2 days, we've seen the announcement of the new transformation plan for the seafood industry in New Zealand. I'm clear that what we're doing together with Sea Lord in planting these trees is not the total solution, but it's part of the solution. You know, other parts of the solution are going to rest in how do we use smart technology as well as planting these offsets to further drive down these emissions. So I think this is really just the start, but you know, I'm particularly proud, actually, Dale, as Māori. This is something that we are collectively doing together as Māori.
Tēnā, this transformation plan that you referred to earlier, can you just flesh that one out for our listeners, please, Chris?
Yeah, it's only just been announced by government in Nelson just in the last couple of days, and there's arguments for and against, but I think the fact is that we've got a plan that's been put together with the leadership of the fishing industry, and the key points that came out of the transformation plan is, one, I think it's really important that there's a recognition that we can't keep doing business as usual in terms of particularly our wild stock fisheries, because wild stock fishery stocks are going down. And so a key element of this new transformation plan is that how do we collectively as an industry, as Māori, figure out how to do more with less? And that by accepting that, what it means is we've got to be thinking about how do we create much more value by moving up the value chain than just doing business as usual, just taking a fish, a fillet off a fish, packaging that up in some way and sending that off. Well, markets are now starting to say, well, that's no longer good enough. We need you to do much more with less and drive towards higher value.
What might be an example of that?
I think there's numerous examples. One of the things that was announced in that transformation plan, again, how do we use science to generate new products? And these are some of the things, and we've been hearing different ones of our own, Māori, talking about these things, but how do we take waste streams from fishing, and there is a lot of waste, like the bones, the guts, the skins, etc., and turn those into high-value other products? And there's a lot of those new products emerging, like nutraceuticals, where the margin is really, really high on a product that is otherwise just a waste stream. So how do we use science and innovation and technology to move the industry up the value chain? And again, I'm hopeful that Māori can play an important leadership role there too.
Tēnā koe. And finally, it's important that we gauge the success of the free trade agreements. It was one thing to herald the fact that they are in place, but unless our people are taking advantage of the streamlined routes into overseas markets, then it is folly, isn't it, Chris? What might you say of the willingness or enthusiasm of Māori entities, trade-focused, to take advantage of these new markets created with the free trade agreements with the UK and the EU?
Yeah, absolutely, Dale. It's massive. The first thing that had to happen was to create those agreements and open those doors, and then to embed our Māori interest into all of those, especially those two big ones, representing, several billions of dollars of new GDP to New Zealand per year, and obviously for us as Māori. So getting those agreements in place was key and fundamental. Just in the last 2 weeks, Dale, we took our Te Taumata kaupapa on the road again, and we were hosted by Ngāti Whātua on their marae at Ōrākei Korako. Amazing, to take the leaders of the world, the ambassadors we had from Europe, from the UK, from Ireland, from Pakistan, from a number of different countries of the world, ministers, and all of our trade negotiators to talk face-to-face with our people on the marae. And I've just got nothing but praise to say for the chair, Marama Royal, and all of her Ngāti Whātua whānau that hosted us. And here's where the rubber meets the road, Dale, to the point that you've raised. It's all very well to go and negotiate these agreements, but they actually mean nothing unless our people actually step up and take advantage of them. So what happened at the marae 2 weeks ago, over the last 2 to 3 months, you are aware, our listeners are aware, that we sponsored and supported 10 of our next generation of entrepreneurs and innovators on a trade mission, Māori trade mission, across Asia. They went through Thailand and they went through Singapore. They were over there for 2 weeks. And one of the things I said to them, when you fellas get home, you're going to come and talk to our people back at the marae and tell them what you learned. Well, honestly, it was the highlight of their whole day that was full of highlights. We get three of our young Māori who went across to Asia, and honestly, they came back with bags full of money. You know, just amazing to hear them stand up and speak around the opportunities that they were able to flex by going into the markets in Asia. One thing I said to them was, what was the biggest single thing you learned? And it was amazing. It didn't surprise me what they said. They said, you know, the thing that we really, really got out of it, we all went across there as Māori, as one. And it was amazing to be standing in those international markets in Asia as a united Māori voice. They said they felt so proud that that had happened, but they came home and they had bags full of money, and I had our Minister of State, Reno Tirikatene, sitting next to me, and I nudged Reno in the ribs and I said, Ane, Reno, here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's our Māori people taking our products to the world, the high-value products of the world. This is what we've got to do more of.
And the thought of bags full of money resonates strongly in this cashless society that we live in today. Good catching up with you again. Chris, thanks very much. Okay, we'll stay in touch when we're talking trade issues. All the best.
Okay.
Tēnā koe. Chris Karamia-Inslee heads to Taumata, which is our Māori trade organisation.